Alan Kemp presents Solar Outsiders with Friends. The Kemp song. Alan Kemp is a solar king. Alan Kemp is a good salesman. Alan Kemp is a good CEO. Knows his stuff when it comes to panels and inverters. Kempy knows he's a genius. Kempy is an atheist. Kempy, he's the man. Solar King, King of Brisbane. Solar God, who has a big dick. I've got a big dick. Everyone, welcome to another episode of Solar Outsiders. I'm your host, Alan Kemp. Today on the show, we've got a bit to talk about. We've got Lewis Shepherd, the aka the Solar Pest. He's from Perth. He's from Go Solar. He tells us, you know, he rings up every time we ring him up, connect with him and ask him what's going on. What's the new panels out? What's the new inverters out? What's the new battery out? He's just got a new battery, the Jinko Sun Tank, I believe it is. We'll have a chat to him about that. We'll have a chat to him about Leapton that he used to spam the internet with, and that's finished up now. So I'll ask him what's going on there. And then later on the show, we'll have Professor Ole Johansson from Sweden, and he's going to talk to us about how dangerous the world is becoming. You know, we're putting solar inverters on, Wi-Fi, you know, adding Wi-Fi to the environment. He believes it's not good. He believes he's got research to back up why it's not good, why it can be potentially dangerous to drive EV cars. You know, we're just having a chat with him to see what's going on there. You know, is solar the industry to blame or... you know, contributing to the rise of EMFs. I don't know anything about it, but let's ask him about it. And Finn Peacock actually did a blog on it once about EMFs and solar panels and inverters and stuff. So I'm just adding to the conversation there. Let's get it underway. Let's give Lewis a call. All right, so we've got the pest here, the pest from Go Solar, Mr. Lewis. How are you, Lewis?
Good, yourself?
I'm good. Now, Lewis and I, we actually met up and met each other in the flesh, what, a few weeks ago, a month ago in Bangkok. We're both there together. And, yeah, thought I'd meet him in flesh. He wasn't too bad of a bloke, actually. So chatted a bit about solar and what's going on. He was filling me in on Perth. The Wild West, and here he is. So he's on the show, and we're going to talk about what's going on. Lewis is our ear to the ground in all the solar wholesale industry, and sheds a bit of light on the news and his predictions of what's coming in and what everyone, all the other retailers like ourselves, are calling people up like him and placing our orders, so he can give us a bit of a feedback. So, Lewis, but people might say, oh, he only deals with Perth, but you sell in Sydney and Brisbane?
Yeah, we're nationwide. The only states that we don't have warehousing in would be the Northern Territory, the ACT and Tasmania, but we're nationwide.
Who cares about those places, eh? Oh, fair enough. So, yeah, what's going on? So I've seen you boasting about these new Jinko batteries. Tell us a bit about that.
Well, Jinko started into storage in the European market, and now they've decided to roll it out into the Australian market. It's an all-in-one solution. So for the end user's point of view, they can buy a Jinko system, which will consist of Jinko panels, Jinko inverter, and Jinko batteries. I'd say they're on the money. But what a lot of installers don't understand is, if you install solar with a battery, then you can claim STCs up to whatever the spec sheet says of the inverter. So, for example, the spec sheet for the Jinko inverter says 550 volts per MPPT, which means you can install 12 panels per tracker as long as it's under that voltage range. So with the new Jinko N-Type 475-watt modules, which are currently in stock, you can put 24 of those on if it's 12 per string, which will give you around about 11.6 kilowatt. And you can and that's on a 5-kilowatt inverter. So, and you only need to put one battery on, which could be a 2.56 kilowatt hour, to access that extra incentive. And then the batteries are modular, so you can have from 1 to 10 batteries. So you can, you know, the customer can start off with just 2 batteries and they can go up to 10 at a later date. It has a inbuilt EPS system, so if there is an outage, then certain loads can still be used, and the system will then function as an off-grid inverter. So,
right. So this, you can have up to 25 kilowatt hour of storage sitting there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And how many kilowatts of panels in total is that?
11.6 on a 5 kilowatt on the Jinko 5 kilowatt inverter.
Yeah, so you can still get more than that if you put on a 10 single phase inverter. But you can still get near enough that if you put on a 5 kilowatt inverter.
Depending on the design, obviously. I mean, it'd be best to, if you could put 12 one direction, 12 the other direction. But it's no more than, people get confused. They think, oh, I can use a smaller wattage panel to get up to 11.6. The number is 12 panels per MPPT.
Yeah, so I've worked that out, calculated that at 24 of those is 11.4 kilowatt. Yeah. So what about if you go to, like, the commercial 550-watt panels? Does that work as well?
I think the voltage may be higher on those, so you'd have to have a look at the...
Yeah. Yeah, and is anyone putting these big 2.3-meteries or whatever on houses? Do you know of that happening?
Well, I think they'd be pretty crazy.
You're getting any orders?
No, I'm not familiar with it, and it's not something that we'd stock. We would just get, if someone says they've got a project, then we'll speak to the manufacturer and get them. But it's not something a lot of wholesalers would keep on the shelf, to be honest.
Yeah, because I can't even keep up with how many sizes there are. So you've got the 370 size still floating around. You've got the 415 size.
Yeah, 415s is... will be around for a while. They're a 182mm cell with 54 cells. The 440s, which...
But why is there two residential sizes now? Why is there 415 and 470?
Because they've changed the size of the cell. So you've got a 54 cell, which is 1.76mm, which is a 415, which will become a 425 soon, so it won't be around for very long. Okay.
Yeah.
And then the 470 or the 475 is the 60 cell version, still under 2 meters. So
10 centimeters bigger, isn't it?
1.9 the 475s are.
That's taller than you.
Just about, yeah.
Taller than me. Yeah, man, they're big. Yeah. So will we see these two running next to each other for years to come? No, 415 size and 470.
With Jinko, the P-type panels that they've got in the country, once they're gone, they're gone. 440 is nearly gone, okay? 415 should be gone by Christmas. And then there won't be any more P-type panels coming to Australia from Jinko. So
What about the other manufacturers?
Yeah, they might. They may continue to manufacture, but Jinko seems to always set the benchmark, you know, so... They were the first to release the 440, first to release the 370, first to release the 330, et cetera, et cetera. And then to follow suit. So by Christmas time, we'll have the same size equivalent of the 415 will be a 440. So
really?
Yes. Yeah. So boom.
They're finally starting to work, move, improve them rather than just stretch them out, man.
So Genco will mainly focus on N-Type. The other manufacturers will follow suit, but they got a bit of catching up to do, you know. So
yeah. So Genco's a very underrated panel, you'd say, because people like my father, Mr. Inglis, John Inglis, he always says, oh, no good, Genco. Like, what's going on with all the sentiment towards Genco? Well, I've used them for 6-7 years now, and I've never had any issues.
No. And the tier one list.
God bless Genco.
The tier one list tells a funny story. It says who's got the most manufacturing capacity, but Genco sell the most globally. You know, they're number one on global
schedules. Globally.
You know, just like GrowWatt for residential inverters. So if people want to increase their revenue on their business, then they should sell the best-selling products and leave their opinions behind, you know. So everybody...
If they want to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've just started selling the Genco again, so we'll give that a crack. As for the Sun Tank, that's the name of the battery, isn't it? Sun Tank?
Sun Tank, yes.
Yeah, all right, cool. And we can't say who manufactures this, but what's it compatible with? Is there any components from other solar company batteries that it's compatible with?
I reckon you could probably put a GrowWatt LV battery on it because they've got to be low-voltage batteries. Yeah. So we'd have to speak with Genco about the firmware and see if that's possible. It's designed to go with the Genco batteries. So,
yeah. All right, cool, with the GrowWatt batteries.
Guys.
What about the... you've got the other thing that's happened is Leapton is now... You're no longer stocking Leapton?
Yeah, that went... That was an awkward leap that went a bit pear-shaped. We Leapton Australia discovered back in May that these 415 watt panels that they were not importing were coming into the country, and
parallel import.
Well, I'm not sure. I wouldn't say parallel importing, but the Leapton in China had provided the new distributor Leapton Australia's warranty document, so customers are jumping onto Leapton.com.au website, and then they're calling Leapton and saying, oh, what about these 415 watt panels, et cetera, et cetera. I knew they were coming into the market. The directors of Leapton Australia wanted to put a note out to say, hey, these panels are not imported by us, but... I just asked for some patience because I still had lots of Leapton 440 stock that needed to move. They were getting bombarded. So in July, I think it was July number 13, they updated the Leapton.com.au website and said that just put a warning message up that Leapton Australia, because they were listed as the warranty agent, we're not responsible for importing these panels, so please do not contact
right.
them. So that set off a few sparks, and obviously we shared that online just to let people know. Now, you would think out of respect to your local partner who put them. To say sorry about giving the incorrect warranty information, et cetera, et cetera. All Leapton Australia got was a termination of trademark 2 days afterwards, which they had until, I think it was a certain date in August, could have been 10th of August, to terminate the trademark. There was no formal communication. Leapton Australia asked Leapton how many modules have been issued under with using the incorrect warranty document, and there was no reply.
So that was a little bit unfortunate.
Yeah, right.
They took the opportunity to let Solar Quotes know that Lipton Australia was nothing to do with them anymore. But Lipton Australia had no communication from them. So on the 10th of August, which was the day that they had to close the trademark, they had no choice but to update the website and just share the facts and update the public why the business was closed. The email was sent to Lipton to ask if they disagreed with any of the content that was going to be uploaded onto the Lipton.com.au website. And this time they got a reply, was please do not share this. But then another email was sent back, do you agree or disagree with the content? And there was no reply. So they posted up, they posted on their website some facts. There was some issues with rebadged panels back in 2019, 2020, which were removed from CEC list, which caused Lipton Australia to become responsible for importing the panels. They currently were not Tier 1. We know they are now, but they currently weren't Tier 1 at that time, and that Lipton was not responsible for warranties moving forward as the termination had the trademark had been terminated. And that was it. Just sharing the facts. I said to all my customers that the Lipton arrangement would be coming to an end, and I did give them prior notice, and because I knew it was on the cards. And if anybody comes to me and asks for a warranty issue, I will do my best to resolve it still, because we have kept some old stock to be able to deal with this, but it's disappointing for me because I'm all about sales and brand awareness, et cetera, and we put a lot of work into it, but the lesson I got. Leading brands, and what we'll do moving forward. Just stick with the big boys.
Now, Jinko, all right, fair enough. And what else do you see happening in the market in the next few months, would you say? Is there any other thing you want to cover there?
Well, this time last year, it was all, wholesalers were getting this, oh, you're full of shit, you're this, you're that, because we were saying shipping prices were going up and there was a shortage of panels. And all of a sudden, bang, all these panels arrive all at once. All I can say, what's unsettling us this year, we don't see any problems with shipping, okay? We don't see any problems with production. But since, I'm not sure if there's a link, but since the exchange rate has since the interest rates have been rising, the exchange rate seems to be dropping, which is having the reverse effect in America. Interest rates are rising, US dollars getting stronger, but it's not happening here. So, if we go back about 3 or 4 months ago, the Australian dollar is around about 4 to 5 cents less than what it is today. If it continues down this path, because we all deal with the manufacturers in US dollar, it is going to have an effect on panel pricing and inverter pricing moving forward. But it should still make sense to the customer, because especially on the East Coast, the wholesale electricity price is rising significantly. So solar should still make sense. But we believe that there will be, unless the exchange rate changes, there will be some price rising on a monthly basis moving forward. We had to increase August. We had to increase again this month, and I believe it will be the same again next month.
All right, great. Well, we'll touch base again in another month or so and see what else you got for us. But thanks for taking your time out, Lewis, to tell us all what's going on and telling everyone about the Jinko, the battery, the new battery that's out, and the new panels and what we got in stock.
Yeah, God save the king.
Yeah, All right. See you, buddy.
See you, mate. Bye-bye. Bye.
Bye. So, yeah, that's Lewis in the flesh now that we've upgraded and we've got the video going here at the Allen Kemp Solar Outsiders. Be interesting to see what he does with the Jinko batteries, what the feedback is over the next month or so until we talk to him next. And, yeah, Go Solar, he is of Go Solar Perth. He also sells in the East Coast. All right, now we'll get on to the next guy that we have on the show, Ollie Johansson. He's a professor. He has done like the most study into EMF, magnetic, radioactive, like all stuff that's out there that he believes and says he has proof that's out there, and solar inverters and everything throw it off. Anything that's electrical throws off these EMFs. I knew nothing about it until I started looking at it myself, and yeah, you'll hear us have a chat. Let's have a chat to him and see what he's got to say for himself. All right, everyone, welcoming to the show, Mr. Ollie Johansson from Sweden. Ollie, I believe you're a scientist, you're a professor in basic and applied neuroscience, whatever that means. What can you tell us? Did I get it right?
Oh, you did get it right. And I know a little bit about the brain, the spinal cord, and the peripheral nerves in our bodies and how they interact with other cell types. And of course, also interact with the surrounding environment, in which you would find different types of chemical or physical exposures, including electromagnetic fields of artificial man-made nature.
Yeah. So the reason why people are like, why have you got this guy on here? The reason why we've got you on here, because the world's obviously getting more EMF, and I'll tell you how I got looking into that. EMF busy, I guess you could say. And I got looking in this a couple of years ago. This lady was like, no, you can't come and put the Wi-Fi on the inverter, on the solar inverters, because we install a lot of solar. And I went, what are you talking about? And then I just did a bit of research. Your name popped up in quite a bit of it, and it looks like you're like the EMF scientist of, you know, the world. And you probably know or have witnessed the most out of anyone on this world, but even yourself, you just said you know so little about it, because as a scientist, I guess you're always learning. But what do you know of this lady that said to me, no, you can't plug the Wi-Fi in? It was actually her husband, the husband, and he goes, don't do that, she'll divorce me. I'm like, is it that bad? Yeah. So does she have a valid argument about no Wi-Fi on these solar inverters?
Well, I cannot comment upon the divorce risk, of course, but yes, she is indeed very right, and her question is relevant and valid. And if you look around in the scientific literature, you would see that a lot of papers, and we are talking about tens of thousands of peer review-based scientific publications and reports, points to that there are dramatic risks, for instance, starting at the bottom with bacteria, moving up into plants, insects, other types of animals, as well as human beings, when it comes to adverse health and biological effects of artificial electromagnetic fields, but from all types of sources and gadgets. And of course, this is one being mentioned here. There are a lot of other such sources. And when you arrive at the modern workplace or home, I am always struck by the number of decked phones, wireless indoor telephones, private cell phones, company cell phones, wireless laptops, wireless internet, blah, blah, blah. You know, there are so many. Blah, blah, blah.
That's Greta. That's like a
slogan. Oh, that's Greta. Yeah.
You got that from Greta. Yeah,
indeed. And yeah. And there are so many sources, you know. And on top of that, you have to add the modern environment regarding also chemical exposures, stress, social interaction issues, etc., like divorce, for instance. Yeah. So there are many things boiling together, but from a scientific point of view, it's very clear cut that there are dramatic alterations in our surrounding environment. You probably have heard about the enormous reduction in insects and especially pollinators. Many countries reporting losses over 90%. So for me, it's surprising that grown-ups here in Sweden, for instance, or elsewhere, don't stand up in unison and just scream in fear, regardless of the reason for these reductions. But when scientists have done test tube experiments, laboratory experiments, these pollinators, they don't like cell phone radiation. And others, on the other hand, seem to like it very much. Like bacteria, they go into a defense mode and become antibiotic resistant. And when the World Health Organization, I think it was last year, were asked if the corona pandemic is the biggest threat to mankind, they said, no, it's not, definitely not. And then the reporter asked them, what is then? And then they said, that's antibiotic resistance in healthcare. And again, with the very famous experiments being done on ordinary bacteria, exposing them, for instance, to old-fashioned GSM 2G mobile telephony or super modern Wi-Fi router exposures, and turning them into strands of antibiotic resistant bacteria, that is scary, of course.
Yeah, right. So it can actually make normal bacteria that we can kill with antibiotics, antibiotic resistant. It's contributing to the rise of antibiotic resistance.
Yeah. And you know, I remember when I read an article in 2017 from United States, at the very same time here in Europe, the G20 countries had a specific meeting only about the antibiotic resistance in European healthcare, killing at that time approximately 25,000 people prematurely here in Europe. And it was said that by the year 2050, more than 10 million people would die too early around the world due to the same type of antibiotic resistance. But if you merge the G20 discussion with the data from experiments, then these 10 million could easily become like 8.7 billion people, because we would then again start dying from a splinter in your thumb, which we today still can treat in hospitals and healthcare. But maybe by the time 2050, the antibiotics will not work any longer. And I called a relative who is an orthopedic surgeon, and she said that it's a dramatic situation and someone has to come up with a new antibiotic type that would function. And if not, she just shook her head, you know. So it is a serious situation for sure.
Yeah, right. Well, unleash the bacteriophages, huh?
Yeah. So. Right.
Well, so what's going on with, I didn't know it can get that bad. Like, so we do have one guy who's quite active in the solar community, Ian Gittis, and he, 95% of people saying, yeah, I'll put a post up saying, is this EMF stuff true related to solar? Should we slow down and maybe stop, installing so much stuff before we test it? And Gittis said, yeah, I was a bit of a skeptic until they pumped out a 5G tower in my backyard across the road, and he reckons he's seen all the trees die around it within the next 6 months or so.
The observations being done by private persons are very important, and of course they need to be turned into so-called controlled scientific experiments and controlled scientific observations. So it's too early to say, but in laboratory experiments using plants of different types and seeds, they are badly affected. So yes, that's a true possibility. although when I look around, like here in Sweden, I don't see the same effect as being reported from other countries, but that could depend on the differences in plant types as well as differences in technology. And we have tried to get money to do different types of studies and projects. But since I'm retired, we cannot apply at the ordinary normal governmental funds. And when we do try to apply at different places, the most common answer is no, it's nothing to worry about. But yeah. I do worry when I read, for instance, last year that more than 90% of the bumblebees in the United States are gone. When I read this year that more than 90% of the honeybees in Canada are gone. And when I look around where I live here in Sweden and practically see no insects whatsoever, and I know about the projects and studies being published regarding the interaction of cell phone radiation with insects, especially pollinators. And to make a long story short, they don't like it. And therefore, we want to do control the experiments. And I am, as you know, from the Karolinska Institute and the Royal Institute of Technology. So maybe I shouldn't say this, but I know my trade. I know how to perform controlled studies, and I'm surprised that society doesn't want me to do it. Private persons, yes, but the governmental organizations and the big other types of organizations, they show no interest whatsoever. Yeah, and maybe you read that Albert Einstein, the famous physicist and Nobel laureate, he said that without pollinators, mankind would survive for at most 4 years. And I think he was rather optimistic, to be honest. I think parts of mankind could go down much sooner than that. And with less than 10% of these kind of insects being left, well, at least I stand up in the underground in Stockholm and scream silently, in a sense, you know, because I am worried. I'm old, so I may not be hit by this at all. But yeah, I'm looking at small children, babies in baby prams, thinking, what are you going to eat? Are you going to eat the monetary bills people don't want to part from today? Are you going to eat the money in the future? And, you know, you cannot. So it's a dire situation, I would say.
Yeah, right. So just in terms of that, you said you're retired, but I did a bit of reading and it looks like you kind of got pushed out because what you were unearthing and trying to say, hey, hey, look at this, they didn't like it.
Yeah, that's very true, unfortunately. And
it wasn't because you got one of these things on like all the time.
You got I don't have one of those. I don't need it. Because I don't sense anything. But as you know, if you look around in the world, and we're coming back to the initial lady you mentioned, there are in the order of 350 million or more electro-hypersensitive persons. And now we are only talking about human beings. Hmm. We don't know about animals. For instance, rats, dogs, cats, birds. Have they also become electro-hypersensitive? And for instance, here in Sweden, we see, I would say, quite a big decrease in the number of special insect-eating small birds. And of course, that could be a consequence of the radiation exposing the insects and killing them off. But also,
EMF there could is be radiation.
And it could be also a direct effect on the very birds. So everything is at stake. And again, you know, I have written to all the major environmental and animal protection agencies in the world, all the big names. No one has even replied. I have written to the United Nations.
You're stopping their money, man. That's why. Yeah.
I've written to the United Nations, to the World Health Organization, to a lot of local as well as national health authorities and politicians and boards of different types, and no one even replies. I wrote to the former Swedish prime minister. He didn't reply. He gave my letter to another minister. She didn't reply. She gave it to a civil servant. And to quote Greta Thunberg again, the reply we actually got was just blah, blah, blah. Yeah. It was no content, because the poor lady, she didn't understand our questions. Yeah. And therefore, she was unable to reply in an adult way.
Right. Well, maybe you could try her again, I guess. But do you have like your own private military protecting you or what? Like, this sounds pretty crazy, man.
Well, I'm too poor to have anyone protecting me, but I'm not important at all, you know. And the importance.
You're just a crazy guy with a foil hat.
Well, you are the crazy guy with a foil hat, and I don't have one. And so, and I'm not important from that point of view. But the
future, you've got like physical, like evidence that this stuff actually works. Like I read on one that you did, this lady come in saying she was sensitive to something. This was in the 90s, you work with it, and then
you tested her
biopsy, tested her cells on her face or something, and then and then it came out it was true, and then you're like, oh wow, so all that other stuff you're saying must be true, where she reckons she felt the oven working and stuff like that. Yeah, all this stuff actually happens that me and you can't feel, that these people can feel, and there's proof of it.
Yeah. And you know, here in Sweden, electrohypersensitivity is not an illness, but it's a recognized functional disability. So they get the subsidy from the government, and they are protected both by national and international handicap laws and regulations. And that's kind of unique.
Is that in every year? Yeah, that's what I was about to ask. Is that in whatever country? Does Australia do that or what?
No, no. Not to the best of my knowledge, at least. But there are, what should we say, increased interest into these issues also in other countries like Spain, France, Canada, etc. So maybe tomorrow will be more bright for this group. But the question is, of course, if you do have people that are electrohypersensitive, is that what we see with bacteria, with pollinators and other types of animals, as well as with plants? Are they becoming electrohypersensitive because of this colossal exposure? I'm again surprised that there is so little interest into this. And we are trying our best, that's for sure.
Yeah, right. So I'll just bring this up. Can you see this here?
Yes, I can.
Yeah, Stop Smart Meters Australia. Now, this happened a few years ago in our industry. We go around, put solar in, and then the energy retailer comes along and throws a smart meter in their house. If we put solar system on their house, or just sometimes they just go and roll out the whole area, the whole street with these new, going from analog to digital. Did they do the same thing in Sweden?
Well, they do, but how should I put it? It's a much more discreet system, and often, like where I live here, there are 60 flats. There are smart meters, but they are not inside the flats. They are underground in a locked room
and a cabinet.
Yeah, so it works in a different way. And you know, the smart meter doesn't have to be wireless. You can have a wired smart meter with a shielded wire, giving the company, the utility company, the same information they need as being wireless. So, and that goes, of course, for anything. I am talking to you through a wired shielded laptop right now, and I hope what I say doesn't come out differently because of it.
Yeah, right. Well, you sound all good if you're talking about that. Well, I just hope you're talking to me. I'm not killing you, giving you radiation or whatever. You know?
No. But of course, you have the ambient background radiation. And when I give lectures, I ask the audience initially, and I say, let's imagine we only have the third generation mobile telephony in the air, nothing else, no TV, no radio, no 2G, 4G, 5G, and so on, only 3G. And then I asked the audience, how much more of such type radiation are you hit by today compared to like 30 years ago? Is it twice as much, three times as much, or what is it? And one time there was an elderly gentleman, he said, oh, no, 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 it's much more. It's 100 times more. Mm-hmm. And the audience went, no, that's impossible. There is no way they are allowed to increase it like that. But the correct answer is that the increase only for the third generation type exposures is in the order of a quintillion times. That's a one with 18 zeros behind compared to the natural background. So the exposures that are invisible, they are still colossal, astronomical, biblical, you choose the term, you know, they are just enormous. And it would be very surprising that such an enormous increase wouldn't leave a footprint. And what we see, it does.
Yeah, so it is doing some. Yeah, because in this one here, they cite your name as well, and they cite a study where the mold was growing in a test tube or something, and the mold that was subjected to all this EMF grew 600 times more, 600 times more cultures grown than the one protected from it. So that's what you're saying before about the bacteria. So it's helping mold, bacteria, fungi, all that stuff. Just
Because, you know,
that's probably where that COVID-19 vaccine stuff come about, man. That's you doing that.
Could be, but let's leave that for the time being. But what we are doing is, of course, you feed the entire planet with colossal amounts of airborne energy. And maybe some species actually pick up this energy, use it, and will change their physical appearance, their chemistry, their behavior, etc. And whereas others, they are harmed by it. And also the question of harm can initially be something good, turning later into harm. And there are studies, a lot of studies actually on the immune system, and it seems to initially be stimulated by the ambient man-made exposures, but after some time it deteriorates, starts to leak more and more and more. And then we come back to these phenomena like coronavirus and COVID-19. Is that an effect of that we have fed the system at one point with too much energy, activating it, at other points like the human beings, deteriorating the immune system capacity? It's a speculation, but it's interesting that, again, no one wants us to investigate it.
Yeah. Right. So I've got a few questions here. Like in the 90s, like you hear in the early 90s, all these people were coming on TV going, I got a brain tumor from using a mobile phone for 3 years. And then that kind of all fizzled out in like by 2000 because everyone was using them for 15 years by that time. And now look, I'm been using one for 20 years and I haven't died yet. Or, you know what I mean? So that then. And they're saying it's not brain tumor now, or it's now EMF. Like, is it people breaking, or is it? It must be people more break faulty people more than it is the environment being overloaded. Is that something? Do you understand what I'm saying? Like,
yes, I do. And this is a very important question you raise. And to start with the brain tumors, we are at 2022, and the exposures here in Sweden from mobile telephony started around the beginning of the 1980s. So it's a very long exposure time. And Sweden has been very techno-prone, so everyone uses and exposes themselves to this. And we do not see an increase in these type of brain tumors in the public incidence. Actually, it's a slight decrease over time. And when you look around in the world, checking for statistically significant increases in incidence of brain tumors, you don't find it. Luckily enough, you know, I mean, I'm happy that no one gets a brain tumor from their cell phone. But at the same time, there are very interesting animal experiments like the American National Toxicology Program study, pointing to that there could be a risk. But as you said, for each year with this enormous exposure, basically of everyone living on the planet, and you don't see any such increases, neither in human beings or in animals, it points to that the effect might be different. And, you know, if we would talk about extra brain tumors, we can cope with that. But if we lose the pollinators, we cannot cope with that. And also, don't forget the dramatic effect on fertility. There has been exposure studies on male sperm cells showing that they are deteriorated both from a morphological point of view as well as from a functional point of view. And when you look around, like here in Europe, and you ask different countries about the sperm cell quality and count, it's like this, going dramatically and fast down, again pointing to that there is some kind of environmental factor, again making me, how should I say, stressed, not being able to investigate this in a full-scale format from a scientific point of view. I have written, and I don't dare to tell you the title of my paper, but it was something, the telephone, you know, if you can fill in some proper English word there, you know. And I think, and of course, nowadays, the recommendation is for men not to carry their cell phone close to their testicle. Yeah.
So what about, like, if you go on, like, Pornhub or something like that, like, have it at a distance, you recommend, or something?
Yeah, I mean, I remember 1998 on the west coast of Sweden. I'm currently on the east coast, but on the west coast, you have the second biggest town called Göteborg. And there was, I think it was like a week-long conference called Mobile Phones and Health. And at the end of that, I asked the physicist and I said, hey, you have listened to all these fantastic scientists during the week. They have presented their data. If you kind of melt them together and answering my question, how far away do I need to put a cell phone so I'm not exposed at the levels they are reporting biological and medical effects at? And then he said, well, Ole, it's hard to give an exact figure, but I would reckon it's in the order of 5 to 10 kilometers away in a completely radiation-free environment.
Right. So all those people there that reckon that they live in these houses with no EMF anywhere, they've actually got it everywhere then?
Well, that depends on the house, of course. You can shield a house. That's very expensive. I mean, there are people that have put money into it, and you can shield it using wave traps, cloths, paints, and so on, you know. But an ordinary building could have low exposure levels. But remember, low compared to what? Compared to natural background. At least here in Sweden, everyone lives in biblical levels of exposure, you know, in astronomically high exposure levels.
So can any normal person check their home for EMFs? Like, is there any devices or?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can buy from different sources, different types of field meters. You can measure both high frequency as well as extremely low frequency electromagnetic fields. Some of the meters are much more accurate and therefore much more expensive. But you can get away, I would say, in the order of, around $100 to $200 American, and that you would get a very good meter. And then, of course, you can check it. But I would still say it would be kind of a waste of money in the sense that you would not find any natural background if you live in a town, a village, a city. And, you know, when you come out on the countryside, if you or your family or your neighbors have wireless gadgets, then suddenly they will be much further away from the base stations, the antenna, the towers, meaning that they will upgrade their output power. So a person using a cell phone will be much more exposed from the handheld gadget in the countryside than in a city.
Yeah, makes sense if they need to boost more power. And also now with electric vehicles being all the rage, especially in the solar industry, like Carl Jensen got one and all this, he's like, is he going to get like poisoned by this stuff? Does this stuff leak more than your ICE car? Or I mean, and what do you have, a Volvo, Saab or Scania? What's your car? Volvo?
I don't have a car. No, I'm a biker. So I have a Harley Davidson instead, you know, and they come without any wireless gadgets, I can tell you. They are mechanical. But it's, again, a very relevant question you put. And I had had just the last week a number of discussions with people around the world, especially in North America, because, you know, they're also planning not only electric vehicles, but the whole street or road should be a charger. When you drive your car, it will be automatically charged, meaning that you will be very much exposed. And on top of that, you have the Internet of Things, the 5G, the 6G, with all these small cells everywhere, and on every light post and every fence post and so on, you know, it will be everywhere. And of course, it's in the open. I mean, what will happen? Is this really smart or not? And maybe it will turn out to be a less smart invention and prospect for mankind. But we don't know yet. And it goes back to that more and more commodities are sold to us without any testing. And I remember February the 7th, we are in the year 2019, the Senator Richard Blumenthal in the United States, he asked the Federal Communication Commission, the Food and Drug Association, and representatives of the operators what kind of studies they had before launching 5G to the general public, and they didn't have anything. They had no such studies whatsoever. And he said and concluded, and I like that very much, it is like we are flying blindfolded.
But that's what we do these days. We don't, we just get told what to do and not ask questions.
And I saw yesterday, you mentioned COVID-19 and vaccines, that obviously the American authorities had purchased, I don't remember the number of vaccine doses, but a month before they were officially cleared for selling them. The world is just upside down, I would say, you know.
Yeah.
It's so odd.
People don't think stuff and they just do stuff and then deal with it later.
And it's always money, you know. And I know that the Swedish group ABBA is very popular where you live.
ABBA,
and they have this song about money, makes it funny in the rich man's world. Yeah, and it seems to be a very much a rich man's world, and woman, of course. But the rest of the population are kept in some kind of darkness. Yeah. And they are naive many times. And of course, here in Sweden, at least, most people, they would look like this. They would be looking into these black mirrors and looking for, I don't know what, instead of
whatever
observing.
Whatever gets told to buy
And instead of observing the real life. And I mentioned before, I'm a biker. And when I go with my motorcycle, I could go like for 150 kilometers. When I come back home, I could have a single spot on my jacket, a single insect that had been crushed against it. And I remember my uncle, who was a biker in the 1950s in Sweden, he told me when they went for 150 kilometers on a ride, they had to kind of scrape off, you know, a mass of insects from their clothing, and now basically nothing.
Well, they'd want to do something about that, because that's going to be our food in the next 10, 20 years, apparently.
Yeah, I know, and I saw they have these roboticized insects nowadays, you know, completely mechanical. And my question is, are we supposed to eat them as well? I don't know. And, you know, there is a very famous photograph on the internet from an American food store where you see these fantastic shells with fruits, vegetables, nuts, and so on. And then they take away everything dependent on insect pollinators, and the store is practically empty.
Yeah, right.
Well, so we are coming back to my basic question.
Wow, he left us hanging there. Cut out the free version, 40 minutes of recording only. So anyway, he sent me an email and he said, the question was, in the future, are your kids going to eat the monetary bills you today don't want to give to research? So he's of the opinion the world could all blow up because we all didn't slow down and research what we're doing with other things that have gone on right now. Anyway. We prefer to be reactive than proactive, don't we? But anyway, so he's also said he can come back on another time. Maybe the boys at JASP, maybe they can get him on, grill him a bit. Anyway, he's a fan of the show, and we're a fan of his too here at Alan Kemp Solar Outsiders. Righty, I'll leave it till next time. We'll see you in a month or so. See what's going on in the market then, and deliver another sermon. This is Kempy. Get a dog up, yeah, everyone.